What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. On today's bonus episode, I've compiled a few of my lists from previous episodes. Today's bonus episode is going to be the Trop 5 father-son duos from football, baseball, and basketball. So enjoy. League, and there was actually enough to do a Trop 5, so I'm going to go ahead and do the Trop 5 NBA father-son duos. Starting off with number 5, Rick Barry, the father, with his three sons who were NBA players, Brent Barry, John Barry, and Drew Barry. Now, really, only Brent had a successful NBA career. One thing you will notice with this list is that I think, there's two sets on here where they had good careers, both the father and the son, or sons, had good careers. But you'll see that for the most part, either the father had a great career and the son didn't, or vice versa. So in this instance, Rick Barry had an amazing NBA career. He's actually a legend. He's one of the greatest players of all time. He's in the Hall of Fame. He's a 12-time All-Star. He's won an NBA championship. He's been the Finals MVP, and he actually he won Finals with the Golden State Warriors, of course. Now that I say that, what is there? There's on my list, I have three Golden State Warriors on here. So that's kind of funny. I guess they like the father-son duos. But Rick Barry, he was definitely the most successful of between him and his sons. Like I said, John and Drew, they had the little, very, very small NBA careers. But Brent Barry actually had a very solid career. He wasn't great. He was solid, especially when he went to the San Antonio Spurs. He won a championship in 05 and 07 with the Spurs. And he was more of a like bench role player. And not to say that he was terrible, but he was not as great as his father. And actually, one of the things Rick Barry is known for is shooting free throws underhanded. All right, and then so number 4 on my Trop 5 NBA father-son duos, Joe and Kobe Bryant. I had to put Kobe on here, you know that. Between the two of them, obviously, Kobe is literally one of the greatest basketball players of all time, and he really does put his dad, good old Joe Jelly Bean, to shame, because Joe, he wasn't a bad basketball player, but he was more of a journeyman, where we all know Kobe is legendary. He's got the 5 rings and the endless amounts of career accolades to name off. I think I've named off enough Kobe Bryant accolades, and I'm sure I'll name off more, but we don't really need to do that in this one. But his father didn't have a bad NBA career, and hey, man, if it wasn't for his father playing NBA, who knows? We may not have Kobe Bryant in the NBA. Then at number 3 on my Trop 5 NBA father-son duos, Bill and Luke Walton. So Bill Walton, he played for the Portland Trail Blazers and the Boston Celtics. He also had a stellar career in college. When he played for UCLA, he was a 2-time champ for UCLA. He was the first overall pick in the draft for the Portland Trail Blazers. He ended up winning an MVP when he was with the Trail Blazers. He ended up winning a championship with the Trail Blazers. Then when he moved on to Boston, he was more of a sixth man, which he did end up winning the Sixth Man of the Year award while in Boston, but he also won a championship in Boston as well. So he's a 2-time champ. And Hall of Famer, one of the greatest basketball players of all time in college and pros. Then also Luke, well, I wouldn't say he was half the basketball player his father was. I think Luke was more lucky that he got to play with Kobe and be on that Lakers team. And not to say that he was a bad basketball player. He was actually a very solid basketball player, but you're not going to be like, oh yeah, Luke Walton, he was killing it back in the day. Nah, we were winning because of Kobe and Jack, and actually, the years we won with him were in 09 and 10, so those were actually the Powell, Odom, Artest, Kobe years. So, I mean, he was a great role player during those years, but he was definitely not on the level of his father. But they are number 3. Then number 2 on my Trop 5 NBA father-son duos, that would be Dell, Steph, and Seth Curry. Now, Dell Curry, he's the father, and then you got Steph and Seth. Dell Curry, he was more of an NBA journeyman as well. Seth has also been kind of a journeyman. They all have great three-point shots, but ain't none of them touching Steph. We all see that Steph is the breadwinner between the three of them. I feel like if they're playing some one-on-one with each other, Steph's going to take all of them all the time. Although they probably play a lot of horse because they kind of seem like they're all about the shots, especially the three-pointers, and they probably do all these crazy shots against each other. They may change it from horse to Curry instead. I mean, all three of them, great NBA careers, but obviously Steph is killing it. He's got the three championships, may get number four, and he's Hall of Fame player already and hasn't even been inducted, so hasn't even finished his career yet. So obviously he's the number one of those three, but they all three have had solid and good NBA careers. And then number one on my top five NBA father-son duos. I don't think a lot of people would put them at number one, but I'm going to tell you why. I got Michael and Klay Thompson at number one. And the reason why is because both of them have achieved great things throughout their NBA career. Michael Thompson was the number overall pick for Portland Trail Blazers after they moved on from Bill Walton, as a matter of fact. And he did kind of meander his way around the league after he kind of faded away in Portland. But then he came back and signed with the Showtime Lakers and actually kind of had a resurgence there, where he was coming off of the bench and he was a huge, huge role player and big reason as to why they won those championships there. And he actually won a couple championships in 1987 and 1988 with the Lakers. And then Klay Thompson. He basically came out of nowhere. Nobody really expected him to be that great. And he's one of the best three-point shooters the league has ever seen. He's a three-time champ. He's been the focal point of the Golden State Warriors even before they were winning championships. He and Steph Curry, they've been called the Splash Brothers way before they ever won anything. So you got to give it up to Klay Thompson and Michael Thompson. Both have had great NBA careers. And I mean, when I'm comparing them, like I said, to everybody else, for the most part, other than the Bill and Luke Walton, they had pretty similar NBA careers. But still, when you really look at it, Michael and Klay, I think combined, make the better duo than Bill and Luke. And then when it came to the Currys, you know, Steph and his dominance really put them above the Waltons for me. And then the owner, you all know, I would love to put Kobe number one because Kobe's number one for me. But, you know, his dad didn't have that amazing of an NBA career, whereas Kobe had like the complete opposite amazing Hall of Fame career, legendary career. It was very lopsided for the most part. And when I looked at Michael and Klay Thompson, their career resume is pretty solid and pretty equal compared to the rest of them. So that's my top five NBA father-son duos. Top five father-son MLB duos. Yeah, I just did the NBA ones a couple episodes ago, so I might as well do the MLB ones. And actually, in baseball, it was a lot more difficult to choose from because there are a lot of damn good father-son duos or even triples here. So let's go ahead and start off my top five father-son MLB duos with number five, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and Sr. And they could actually move up. I mean, Vlad Guerrero Jr., his career is only beginning. And Vlad Guerrero Sr., he had an amazing career. Sr. is most known for, like I said, playing with the Montreal Expos and the Anaheim Angels. He won the AL MVP in 2004. His career home run mark is 449, and he was a Hall of Fame inductee in 2018. Vlad Guerrero Jr. is currently playing for the Toronto Blue Jays, and last year he led the AL with 48 home runs, 401 on base percentage, and I mean he just absolutely dominates the league. He's been one of the best home run hitters. I mean he almost was the MVP last year had it not been for Shohei Ohtani. And I just think he's got a bright future. I think he's definitely one of the future stars of the league, and he's going to be around for a while. So I've got Vlad Guerrero Sr. and Jr. at number five. And number four on my top five father-son MLB duos, I have Felipe Alou and Moises Alou. Now, Felipe Alou, he played for the San Francisco Giants his entire career. And he also was the manager of the Giants at one point as well. During his playing career, he was a three-time All-Star, a career of 206 home runs, a 286 batting average, and he was also NL Manager of the Year in 1994. Now, his son, Moises Alou, he's most known for playing with the Florida Marlins and the Chicago Cubs. He is actually in one of the most infamous Chicago Cubs moments. The Steve Bartman moment is when Steve Bartman took the ball away from him in the outfield. I mean, who knows how life could have turned out for the Cubs. They probably still would have sucked, regardless of what happened with Bartman. But he's in that play. But also, he played with the Giants for a couple years as well. He is a two-time Silver Slugger Award winner. He won a championship with the Florida Marlins in 1997, and he's a six-time All-Star. So both of those guys had stellar careers. I would say Moises' career was a little bit better than his father's. But, I mean, at the same time, Felipe was a player and a manager. So both of them had amazing careers. Then at number three on my top five father-son MLB duos, I have actually not just a duo. These guys, there's three of them, starting off with Ray Boone and his son, Bob Boone, and then his son, Aaron Boone. Now, Ray Boone, he's most known for playing with the Cleveland Indians and the Detroit Tigers. He was a two-time All-Star. He won a championship in 1948 with the Indians. And at one point, he was the AL RBI leader in 1955. Then his son, Bob Boone, is most known for playing with the Phillies, and he was also a manager for a little bit of time as well. He's a four-time All-Star. He won a championship in 1980, and he's a seven-time Gold Glove Award winner. Then his son, Aaron Boone, who he was mostly a journeyman throughout his career. He was most known for playing with the Cincinnati Reds and the New York Yankees, and he's actually currently the New York Yankees manager. But his claim to fame was actually in Game 7 of the 2003 ALCS versus the Boston Red Sox. Basically, they went into extra innings, and in the 11th inning, Aaron Boone hit the game-winning home run to send the Boston Red Sox back home where they belong. But out all three of them, they all had impressive careers. And Aaron Boone's still currently a manager. I mean, all three of them actually, were they all three managers? No, just two of them, Bob and Aaron, were managers. But Ray Boone kicked it off, and all three of the Boone family, and there's even more. I think there's a couple more Boones who actually have played in baseball, but these were the three notable Boones. Then at number two on my top five father-son MLB duos, actually one of my favorite players of all time is in this duo, Ken Griffey Sr. and Jr. I loved Ken Griffey Jr., one of the most exciting players of all fucking time. Love Ken Griffey Jr. So Ken Griffey Sr., obviously between the two of them, Jr. is the best. But they are the only father-son duo to play together on the same team. They both played together with the Seattle Mariners. So Senior, he's most known for playing with the Cincinnati Reds and the New York Yankees. He actually is a three-time All-Star, and he's a two-time champion with the Cincinnati Reds. He won in 75 and 76. Now, Ken Griffey Jr., he's got a huge resume. He's known for playing with the Seattle Mariners and the Cincinnati Reds, just like his father. He's a 13-time All-Star. He won the AL MVP in 1997, 10-time Gold Glove Award winner, 7-time Silver Slugger Award winner, 4-time AL home run leader. He's a 1-time AL RBI leader, and he has a career total of 630 home runs. And real talk, when I say most exciting, like, I think he's like the Deion Sanders of baseball. Because if you watched Deion Sanders in football, you know exactly what I mean. Like, he just changed the game. He was so electric. He was so fun to watch. And nobody was like him. That's what Ken Griffey Jr. was. Ken Griffey Jr. not only was electric behind the plate, but defensively, that dude was so fucking underrated. He made some insane catches. He did some great things. I just loved Ken Griffey Jr.'s career. I was so happy that I got to see his career. But they are at number two on my father-son duo list. Number one on my top five father-son MLB duos, Bobby Bonds and Barry Bonds. Bobby Bonds, he spent the majority of his career with the San Francisco 49ers. He was a three-time All-Star, a three-time Gold Glove Award winner, and his career home run total was 332. Now, obviously, the reason why they're at number one is mostly because of Barry Bonds. Feel how you want about Barry Bonds. I'm a Giants fan, so of course I enjoyed his career. I watched his entire career as a Giant, as a matter of fact. I don't really remember much of him as a Pirate just because I was pretty young, or I think he was even drafted in 84, and so I was born in 85. So most of his Pittsburgh Pirates career, I don't really remember. But his San Francisco Giants career, I fucking remember every minute. I saw him break the record, the home run record. I've seen him. He was such a fun player to watch. And so the reason why they're number one is mostly because of Barry's stellar fucking career here. So he first started off with the Pittsburgh Pirates, then ended his career as a San Francisco Giant. His highlights are he's a 14-time All-Star, 7-time MVP, 8-time Gold Glove Award winner, 12-time Silver Slugger winner, 3-time NL Hank Aaron Award winner, 2-time batting champion. And now let's talk about his all-time career record marks. Every one of these stats that I'm going to name off is actually currently still to this day an MLB record. Starting off with his career home runs of 762. He hit 73 home runs in one season. He had 2,558 bases on balls in one season. He's a two-time home run leader, two-time RBI leader. 232 bases on balls in a single season, 609 on base percentage in a single season, and 863 slugging percentage in a single season. So Barry Bonds was absolutely one of the most dominant hitters of all time. Yes, I know we could discuss the steroid shit, but when you really look back at the steroid era, unfortunately, the majority of those dudes were doing steroids. It was completely encouraged by management, trainers, owners, and the entire league. So you can't blame the dudes doing steroids for something that was completely encouraged. I'm not saying it's cool. I'm not saying it's a good thing. I'm just saying the playing grounds were actually very even because Barry Bonds wasn't the only one doing steroids at that time. But so feel how you want about him. I personally enjoyed his career. I have a Barry Bonds jersey that I've always proudly worn. Like I said, I remember when he hit the record-breaking home run. I remember it like it was yesterday. And I remember the season where he broke the home run record for single seasons, where he hit the 73 home runs in one season. I mean, really, the only thing he's missing from his career is a World Series. He, of course, went to the World Series when they lost in 2002 to the Angels, which was absolutely awful and heartbreaking. But other than that, I mean, Barry Bonds had a stellar career. And even pre-steroids, when he played with the Pirates, he was a number one overall pick. He was great when he played for Arizona. Before steroids, his statistics were great. Not saying the steroids didn't help, but they also helped everybody else in the league at that same exact time. So, like I said, feel how you want about Barry Bonds. I fucking loved Barry Bonds. I enjoyed his career. And Bobby Bonds and Barry Bonds are number one on my top five father-son MLB duos of all time. Top five NFL father-son combos, because there's a few on here where there's three family members who have played from the same family, but we actually have quite a bit of. It was actually difficult to whittle this down to five because there's actually been so many really good father-son combos work its way through the history of the NFL. So let's begin with number five on my top five NFL father-son combos. That would be Steve Jordan and Cam Jordan. Steve Jordan was a tight end for the Minnesota Vikings for 13 years. And, you know, he played years ago. And then his son Cam Jordan currently plays in the league right now. He's defensive end of the New Orleans Saints. But his dad, Steve Jordan, actually, he has Hall of Fame numbers. He's never really been considered for a Hall of Famer. Who knows, maybe down the way he will. But he's got some great numbers for a 13-year tight end. He had 498 receptions, 6,307 yards, and 28 touchdowns. And then his son, Cam Jordan, has been a beast of a defensive end since the day he hit the league. He's had an 11-year career, so he's closing in on his dad's 13 years. He has a career total so far of 639 tackles, 115 and a half sacks, two interceptions, and one TD. So he could add to that. I believe this is actually going to be Cam Jordan's last year. I seem to recall hearing that he's basically said that this year is going to be his last year. Who knows? But both excellent football players. And I don't think a lot of people are aware of Cam Jordan's father, Steve Jordan, just because, like I said, he's got Hall of Fame numbers, but he never gets considered, probably because he played for the Vikings at a time when they weren't really a flashy team who you really talked about. They weren't really winning Super Bowls or anything, so he just played for them and just was a great overall player. But Cam Jordan has most certainly been one of the best defensive ends in the league over his 11-year career. And so I just felt like those two guys, statistically, their longevity of their careers, 100% an excellent father-son combo right there. Then at number four in my top five NFL father-son combos, Clay Matthews Sr., Jr., and the third. So Clay Matthews Sr., he was an offensive lineman for the San Francisco 49ers in the 1950s. Then Clay Matthews Jr. was a linebacker for the Cleveland Browns and the Atlanta Falcons. He wasn't a real dominating player, but he was he definitely had a solid career. He played his entire career, and I believe he even made a couple of Pro Bowls and was even an All-Pro one year, I believe, as well, second team. But regardless, he had a solid career. But, of course, Clay Matthews III was probably the best out of the three so far. He was a linebacker for the Green Bay Packers for the most part. He won a Super Bowl with the Green Bay Packers. But during his time in the NFL, he was one of the best linebackers. For about a good 5-year run there, he was solid. You never wanted to go over the middle where he was at. He was always always in the face of quarterbacks. He was also a ball hawk at times as well. So he just had a very successful career. But they all had great careers. And who knows? We may see more Matthews in the league as the years wear on. Then at number three on my top five NFL father-son combos, Howie Long, Chris Long, and Kyle Long. Now, Howie Long was one of the greatest defensive ends of all time. He played for the Oakland/Los Angeles Raiders. He won a Super Bowl with them. He also won a Defensive Player of the Year award with the Raiders. He was one of the greatest defensive ends, hands fucking down. I mean, he was a beast. And he was one of the most, him and Reggie White were like the top dudes in the league around this era. And just Howie Long was such an amazing defensive end and just a legendary career. He was voted All Pro numerous occasions as well. And so he just had a Hall of Fame career because he is in the Hall of Fame. Chris Long also followed in the footsteps of his father. He was a defensive end. He played with the St. Louis Rams, the New England Patriots, and the Philadelphia Eagles. He actually won two Super Bowls with the New England Patriots. So he has more Super Bowls than both his father and his brother Kyle. He also finished his career with 70 sacks as well. So he had a very solid, long career. And then Kyle Long, he decided to go the opposite route of those two. He played offensive line for his career. He most notably played with the Chicago Bears for the most part, and he was also an All-Pro player. So all three of these guys came into the league, made an impact. I don't think the Suns made as much of an impact as Howie did, but all three of them definitely had solid careers and Super Bowl champions, except for Kyle. Sorry, dude. Then at number two on my top five NFL father-son combos, Ed McCaffrey and Christian McCaffrey. In my personal opinion, because I got to see his career, Ed McCaffrey is one of the most underrated receivers of all time. This guy used to be so fucking consistent. You just throw the ball in his area and he's got it. He was kind of overshadowed by Shannon Sharpe, of course, because Shannon Sharpe's one of the greatest tight ends of all time. Then, of course, you got John Elway on the team as well. And then in the later years, you got Terrell Davis when they go on their Super Bowl run. So I feel like Ed McCaffrey got overshadowed by a lot of that Denver Broncos team, but Ed McCaffrey was a bad motherfucker during his time. He was a wide receiver for both the San Francisco 49ers and the Denver Broncos. He has won 3 Super Bowls in his time, and he was just, like I said, very consistent. He had, I think, 3 or 4 years in a row where he went over 1,000 receiving yards, and he was just, to me, one of the most underrated receivers in that era. Because, I mean, if you go back to this 80s, 90s, beginning 2000s, kind of around the time when McCaffrey played, there were a lot of underrated receivers at that time. You know, you got Tim Brown, who gets overshadowed a lot, too, by Jerry Rice. And then, of course, Michael Irvin. And there were a lot of great receivers in this era. I just think Ed McCaffrey was one of them, but you don't really talk about him a lot. And then, of course, Christian McCaffrey, he's been a running back currently in the league. He played for the Carolina Panthers, but now is with the San Francisco 49ers. He's obviously one of the top guys in the league right now. So far with his career, he's rushed for over 4,726 yards and 38 touchdowns. And he's obviously going to be adding to that. He could potentially win Super Bowls. Who knows where this guy's career is going to go. He's obviously got a few more years in him, too. So we'll see what happens with it. But both of these guys are extremely talented. And I just feel like I said, McCaffrey, very underrated, 3 Super Bowls. And then Christian, who knows what's going to happen with his career. He definitely has the potential to win an MVP. He definitely has the potential to lead the league in rushing and just win Super Bowls and just add to his career. And he definitely, I think, could potentially catch up to his dad, although 3 Super Bowls is going to be difficult to get to, let alone getting 1. He definitely has a lot of work that can be done with his resume. And then, of course, number 1 on my top 5 NFL father-son combos is, of course, the Mannings. Archie Manning, Peyton Manning, Eli Manning, and I think we can possibly add in Arch Manning. He's got a question mark, but we might be adding a 4th to this already amazing 3-headed monster here with Archie, Peyton, and Eli. I knew when I started this list, I was like, oh, I'm 100% that they're number 1. I didn't think there was going to be anybody who could come close just because, I mean, let's go with Peyton Manning is legitimately one of the greatest, not only just quarterbacks, but football players of all time. The dude changed the game. No matter what you feel about Peyton Manning, the dude changed the game, and he is a GOAT. So obviously him alone really just elevates him above all these other combos. But then also Eli, he's got a couple of Super Bowls, and as much as people like to laugh at Eli, he's got a couple of Super Bowls. He played on 2 teams that beat Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. His New York Giants team beat a New England Patriots team that was so fucking dominant that they didn't lose 1 game until that Super Bowl against the New York Giants. So, and Eli was a huge part of why they won. And I mean, hey, as much as I hated Eli because he played for the New York Giants and I'm a Cowboys fan, so I rooted against that asshole for many years, not only because he was a Giant, but he used to kick our fucking ass all the time. I saw it in person, as a matter of fact. Ugh. But anyways, Eli showed up for the playoffs. Unlike some motherfuckers, Eli showed up when it mattered, and so I'm sorry, the resumes of both Peyton and Eli matter. To me, I've always thought Archie Manning was a bit on the overrated side. Don't get me wrong, he was a pretty decent quarterback, but I think a lot of people like to overrate him just because of his 2 sons. But he did play quarterback for the New Orleans Saints. Peyton played quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts and the Denver Broncos, of course. He won 2 Super Bowls and 5 MVPs, which is also a record. And I mean, Peyton's career stats are just endless, so I'm not even going to start. But we all know Peyton's one of the greatest of all time. And so, duh. And then, like I said, with Eli, quarterback of the New York Giants, he won two Super Bowls and he showed up when it mattered the most. And he had a solid career. No matter what you think of that dude, he had a solid career. And if I was Eli, I'd be pretty proud of what the fuck I did with my career as well. And then, like I said, now they've got their nephew, Arch Manning, who is playing for my Texas Longhorns this year. Doesn't look like he's going to be starting this year at quarterback, nor should he. I mean, it's his first year, so he's probably going to be more looking at next year. So we'll see what happens with Arch Manning, but there's high expectations surrounding him. Hopefully he has a good little stint with my Texas Longhorns, but I have a feeling we're going to see him getting drafted into the NFL, and we are probably going to be talking about another Manning and maybe adding to this already huge accomplishments to this family of quarterbacks. So that's my top five NFL father-son combos.